The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
Today, joining me, I have two robotics coaches from Lake Park Ottawan High School, Bob and Kevin. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
So tell us what Robotics Club, for those listeners out there that don't have any clue what that is, tell us a little bit about that.
Honestly, it's sort of exactly what it sounds like. We work with our students in grades 9 through 12 to develop, build, program, and maintain a fully autonomous robot using any kind of hardware we can find, from aluminum to microprocessors to, in some cases, 5-gallon buckets. As long as we can find it around, the kids have to design, maintain, and make this lovely little robot to perform various tasks.
Several of the schools around the region have robotics clubs, correct? Detroit Lakes does, Frazee, Lake Park Ottawan.
Yep, I'm pretty much around the area. There's quite a few. I know right around Highway 10, most of them have. I know DGF is in the process of looking at one. Throughout the state, there's approximately 250 schools maintaining this. We are the second largest state in the United States for robotics participation.
Wow. So if I'm listening and I'm a parent, or maybe I'm an educator and we don't have a robotics club, because you're relatively new, this is your second year, right?
Second year.
So what was the process of forming a robotics club?
We had to contact the first robotics organization, and they're the ones who do it nationwide and organize it. And so it's actually pretty easy. You go in there and sign up and say you want to be a team, and there's some registration fees, and organize students and parents to participate, and it kicks off pretty quickly and easily.
So as coaches, there must be a requirement, at least. I mean, I don't think I would be a suitable robotics coach, put it that way, because I don't have that skill set. What sort of skill sets do you possess?
Actually, you could fit in the area that there's some marketing to do and some branding and some things where the kids get out and tell about their team and what they're doing and that sort of thing. So on that end of it, there's different skill sets than you might think. Bob and I have different skill sets. I'll let him just speak to his, but I'm pretty mechanically and electrically inclined and operate mechanical systems and buildings that are automated by robotic type things. And then I do a little bit of programming as well, and that's sort of where we head into Bob's area.
For myself, I have a heavy background in computer programming as well as maintaining autonomous systems, so it allows me to really focus on the software side of things. We're very lucky that our skill sets complement each other quite well, because we can direct students and allow them to develop without sort of stepping on each other's toes or having a weak area. But Kevin's 100% correct. If you're looking to start a robotics team, don't let a lack of skills or a perceived lack of skills be a barrier. What we have found is that in the community, you will have those skill sets available, and more than likely, they are more than happy to help, especially with your local businesses and things like that. I know myself, I love little projects like this as a fun thing to do, and I nearly guarantee you have somebody who's a backyard engineer who would love to help build a robot for your students.
Interesting. So how much work lies to you as coaches, and how much in the process of building the robot lies to the students?
The goal for here is to have the students design a robot. Our entire purpose there is to help direct them and guide them when issues arise, or to help protect them from potential issues down the line. But our real job is to sort of stand back and let them design, let them put together. And the key for us is let them make something that will fail and learn from it and change from there. That's a common question that comes up. People believe that some teams may have a mentor-built robot. In my concerns, that really isn't the case. These kids know these robots inside and out, and most of the time, much better than we do.
We actually, in the beginning, we discussed that, because for both of Bob and I, we're both doers, and so it is. There's a lot of tongue-biting on our part, and us looking in a different direction while they build something that may fail that we're pretty aware will. But
you have to kind of let them fail, I imagine, yeah. At times, yeah. To let them understand the point of what you're trying to make. Second year team, have you seen an increase in participants? I mean, I know it's early in the school year, but you started out with a pretty good sized team.
Yep. Last year when we went down to competition, we brought down 15 students in grades 9 through 12. Our current sign up sits at 25 students in grades 9 through 12. So we've had a large increase. The interest that we've gained from the community, especially in our younger students in the elementary, has been monumentous. Everyone's very interested in this. So we're looking at expanding our efforts and really having it that any student who's interested can join.
So FIRST Robotics, they also have a younger division too, don't they?
There's multiple divisions. It starts out with FIRST Lego League Junior, which is designed for first through third graders. That's where they make these dioramas of whatever program we give them that year. Last year they had to make dump trucks. After that, there's FIRST Lego League, which is designed for third all the way up to about 6th, 7th, 8th. Where they using the Lego Mindstorms curriculum, they build autonomous robots to defeat a task. After that, there's First Tech Challenge, which is designed for 7 through 12. They build smaller versions of robots than what we do for FRC. They have a smaller game, but they still have to build and program using Android phones. The big one is First Robotics Challenge, which is what we participate in, which is full-scale robots.
And you're given every year as a different set of guidelines or a challenge, so to speak, correct?
Correct. They create the game every year, and it's actually held secret until a certain date to begin the season. And then they release that with a brief video that has an animation of what the game, as they call it, will be. And it's a set of challenges. Last year it involved putting a ball into some certain high holes and low holes and crossing barricades and such like that. And you gain points doing that while you compete. The game can be anything. Previous to that, it was lifting packaging totes and stacking them in a certain order. Part of what happens is the robotics actually drives industry is one of the things I think. When people think of robotics, they think maybe it's just a fun thing for kids to do. But it's driving students to learn about what is making modern industry work, where you go on an assembly line and you have to put this part into this spot exactly just as such. And then robotics can help teach a student to do that. So they have games that work with those kinds of tasks.
The one big thing that we really like about FIRST Robotics is that it's open to schools of all sizes and of all socioeconomic backgrounds. To make it fair, as Kevin said, they release the game on a specific date. No one knows where it is ahead of that. And you only have 6 weeks to build. So you can be a Minneapolis Public Schools with tons of fundraising and everything, 80 kids on your team. You follow the same rules, the same classification as Lake Park Audubon.
When you say competition, that's maybe a little bit different as well. We all know what going to state for football is, or basketball, or what have you, but robotics works a little bit differently, correct?
In the state of Minnesota, there's two major ways to win in robotics. The first one is through the First Robotics Challenge, which has various regional events throughout the state. If you win at one of those events, or win another award, there's various, you are eligible to go to world championships. World Championships is hosted down in St. Louis, historically, and brings in teams from all over the world to compete together. In Minnesota, since we're also part of the high school league, there is a state tournament as well, which takes place in May, which takes the top placers from our regional tournaments and places them there. So there's all kinds of methods to do it. There's multiple ways. And there's if your robot can't drive, but you've displayed many other qualities they're looking for, you can go to World Championships for that.
Because when you get to competition, you actually partner up with other schools, correct?
Yep. The games are based on alliances. So it's usually three teams versus three teams. These are random seeds in the beginning. So you're working with schools you have never met before sometimes. That's a key factor of the games, is that they want you to interact and have teamwork and professionalism with everyone. So you may have designed a robot that's really good at task X, and you team up with a team that's also really good at task X. You have to figure out how to work together now in a limited amount of time as a team to work for a final goal.
They've even coined the word cooperatition, which is cooperating and competing combined. And that's a lot of what goes on there, is you'll find that teams, and maybe they're not even on the same alliance, but you'll find them helping each other. A common thing in the pit area at robotics, different from most competitions or contests you'd go to, is if someone needs a nut or a bolt or a piece of material cut or a tool, they'll quickly go to another pit for another team, and it'll be offered up, and they'll even maybe run over and send someone over to help fix their problem. It's a bit different way to compete.
How do you form your alliances? Is that when you get there, are you doing certain activities that those form, or is that kind of in the preseason when you're building that you get to know the other teams? Or
sort of a combination of both. There's a large worldwide web presence for these teams to communicate back and forth. But at the competitions themselves, the alliance picking for your ranking matches is random. They go in, draw from a hat, and say, you three go, and you three go. They do that so that the teams that are in close proximity to each other will take the cities again. They don't sort of group up on everyone else being an outlier. Once you get to the top eight teams, which is our quarterfinals, the top eight get to pick two teams to be their alliance. And they can pick from anybody. A good example would be a couple years back, one of our local teams, West Fargo, was placed very low in the standings. But the top team picked them because they saw a skill that worked out well. And they went to Worlds that year. So it's really, how does it fit with your robot? How does your team structure work? And it leaves it open to the students.
I guess that kind of goes back to a point that you both made earlier of if you're thinking of starting a robotics team and you maybe don't have all the skill set, find the skill set you do and do it really well.
Correct. And one of the things when we get to competition that the students will do is they'll actually go out and they do some bit of social interaction with each other, and they'll walk around the areas, they'll look at the other teams and interact with them. So that comes back into the play with your marketing, with your social skills and that kind of other things that you develop that have nothing to do with mechanical or electrical things. And they find out the teams that maybe have a strength that either complements them or is similar to theirs, or learn tips or tricks from them. And that when you get to the point where you're choosing your alliances, that information that they've recruited can come in handy.
You're at the start of a season. I mean, I don't think the game has been announced yet, has it?
Nope, that comes out in January.
We just have the teaser video so far that's given us little hints that we're all pondering.
So are you meeting as a team now?
We are meeting as a team now, sort of informally. That's actually based on the student drive. We've had students come through and say, hey, we want to keep doing this. Can we try out this? Can we practice this skill? And for us, it's like, yes, you can. For example, in our first year, we wanted to build a t-shirt robot to learn how these things go together. And we built a functioning robot, but after a season, we learned we could do it a lot better. Mm-hmm. So they've been working on upgrading our t-shirt robot and succeeded quite well.
And that shoots t-shirts, correct? Is that what it does?
Yeah. Yep, shoots t-shirts with compressed air.
It drives around on wheels and by remote control and shoots t-shirts with compressed air. We'll be doing that this evening at the football game.
So that lends itself, what do you do once your competition is over? Those robots are yours to keep and reuse or repurpose?
Yep, you keep the equipment that you purchased, so whatever state it's in, you could repurpose, reuse. I know some teams that are very well off financially hang them up as a piece of decoration, but it's your robot, so there's numerous things you can do.
We utilized our robot that we competed with last year for driver training this year already. The students took it in the off season and over time. And have gotten it out and learned to drive on it because they have to log a certain number of driving hours in order to qualify to drive at competition.
We've also been lucky enough to be able to integrate with many of our curriculum areas here. We used our robot from last year as a Mars rover simulation for our science department, something that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise, and the students really enjoy.
Hmm. Probably exposed, I would imagine, some kids that aren't in the robotics club to robotics. And
most definitely.
Yeah. So how are you handling the demand? I know that the younger kids are just antsy to try to get involved. You hear the word Lego and robots and they're all over it. Are you trying to answer that demand or are you holding off for now at Lake Park Ottoman?
We're in the phases of finalizing our investigation of what all it takes. The season did start for that very early this year, so we're sort of already into it. But it's something that we're really looking closely at doing. The concern is coming down to both time to do it as well as make sure we have maintainable funding to continue the program. But it's something that our students are asking for and we are working our best to get it out there.
Great. Well, any words of advice if you're thinking of joining a robotics club or starting a robotics club?
Dive in. It's varied fun. It's different than you think it is probably. And it involves a lot of aspects of life, a lot of learning and a lot of different levels. I think we've all gain something from it that may or may not be directly related to robotics.
Yeah. I strongly recommend, regardless of your skill set or perceived skill set, just go for it. You'll be surprised at what you're good at. If you are a school looking for starting robotics or asking for help there, reach out to your schools that have it. More than likely, they're very happy to help, can point you in the right direction.
Yeah, there's tons of help out there. Everybody's ready to jump in.
Great. And again, this program is through FIRST Robotics, so you could also probably Google that and reach out that way. But as mentioned, many of the surrounding schools have started robotics clubs, and a few of them have been around for several years now. Well, thank you both for joining me today and letting us learn a little bit more about robotics.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy Art Culture Heritage Fund of Minnesota. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That's www.nijiradio.org.